is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another candidate interview today. We've been catching folks more frequently recently with some of the campaigns beginning to ramp up. And joining us today, Republican candidate for Congress, Alex Skarlatos. Alex, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
So we're beginning to get moving on a little quicker pace overall, not just this particular campaign, but others as well, looking ahead to the May primary, and certainly more interest in this race on both sides of the aisle, following Peter DeFazio's fairly recent announcement that he'll retire after this term.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we came very close to beating Peter DeFazio last time, and I think if he ran again, we would have beat him this time. However, it's a very different year, and now that it's a open seat, you're seeing a lot of people on the Democrat side running. They're going to fight it out in a primary, and we'll see who comes out of that. But either way, we're very excited for this race. It's going to be very competitive, and I think now is the time to elect someone like myself who will look after our fishermen, timber industry, stand with law enforcement, and worry about local issues for a change.
What are your thoughts about just how much this race has changed by the fact that if you get through the primary, you would be taking on, you would not be taking on a longtime member of Congress? Does that make it easier? Does it make it harder?
Well, it's a little bit different, especially with frankly, the gerrymandering that just happened with almost all of the congressional districts this past redistricting cycle. The district has gone perhaps a few points more Democrat. However, with an open seat, that is a huge advantage, especially considering that we ran last time and none of the Democrats did. And I think the biggest thing that the Democrat side is going to have to face is that they're going to have to account for the president's actions and the actions of their party between the permanent mask mandates, vaccine mandates. I mean, a lot of people had to quit their jobs or got fired. I mean, the effort to defund the police and the rise in crime that we're now seeing, and of course, the huge amounts of record inflation that are incredibly unpopular, especially people with low income and fixed incomes.
And one of the polls over the past few days said 60% of those are hoping that or planning at this point to cast their ballot for someone other than Joe Biden. Do you see that issue tying in with the midterms here?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to focus on my own race. I mean, we're running on local issues. I think that Democrats are going to have a tough time accounting for the actions of their party in the last few years. I think both parties are to blame for a lot of things like inflation. And I would say that, I mean, even President Obama's own economic advisor said that Biden's spending made problems worse, not better. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a great year for Republicans. However, going forward, we have a lot of bipartisan problems to fix, especially things like spending, inflation, and getting people back to work, especially here in the fourth.
Now, one of the things you talked about last time around was things that you felt like you brought to the table as a millennial. At least a couple of the Democrats running fall into that category in this race as well. Are you seeing more interest as you look at races around the country in millennials getting involved in running for various offices?
I think so in general. I think we're seeing, you know, especially recently with some of the older people in political leadership, like Joe Biden, like Nancy Pelosi, I think people are just getting excited about younger candidates. I mean, the millennials are now becoming more involved in politics themselves and voting. And I think that's going to be very important going forward in the future. And it's changing the priorities, I think, of the political landscape to where millennials like myself, even some of the Gen Zs as well, are more concerned with issues like the rising national debt, which are probably going to come to a head in our lifetime, as well as, of course, inflation and all the things that are going on right now.
Along with the national debt, and maybe that's the most obvious one, are there other issues where you feel like millennials in general just come to the table a little differently issue-wise?
I would say probably on a lot of issues. I think millennials maybe tend to be more libertarian instead of necessarily classically liberal or conservative. So I think that's changing the demographic of both parties. I guess time will tell, and we'll see what happens with this next cycle, and we'll see who comes out of the Democrat primary. But I think that this year is going to be very interesting politically. I think it's going to be time for a change, and I think we're going to see that coming up in the midterms.
And as you ramp things up a bit, what kinds of things are you looking forward to doing campaign-wise?
Well, this cycle, we're very excited to actually go out and meet people in person. That was a very difficult thing to do last cycle with, you know, the coronavirus and all the lockdowns and things like that. So just getting out and actually meeting people face-to-face, I think, is going to be great, and we're looking forward to that. Just as well as I feel like this time we're a lot better positioned overall. I'm just feeling more optimistic, and we've got momentum on our side, and I think it's going to be a great cycle for America.
And as you talk with folks locally, do you see the potential for Republicans to make more inroads in rural Oregon, maybe even in legislative races?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to depend on the race in particular and how competitive it is. But I think Republicans are up something crazy like 13.5% on a generic ballot. So if there's anything really within 10 points, Republicans should be competitive in it. And I think the Democrats kind of bit off a little bit more than they could chew when it came to redistricting. They wanted to keep all of these districts just slightly Democrat, but that could easily backfire in a year like 22 when Republicans are doing as well as we are right now. We could win at least two of the competitive congressional districts on the state legislature and the state house, state Senate. I mean, we could win, at least get out of the super minority, maybe get in the majority in at least one house, I think is very doable in this kind of a year.
And looking at what's ahead, what are some of the issues? You mentioned the national debt, but what are some of the other issues that particularly drive your interest in running for Congress?
Well, the reason why I got involved and why I'm running for Congress is simply local issues. I mean, forest management, working on issues on the coast like ports and fishing. That's really why I got involved. I mean, this was the poorest congressional district in the state before redistricting. I'll have to fact check that again. But really the economy and seeing what's happened in the last 30 years in this district. And unfortunately now we're having to contend with a lot of national issues, like I've talked about inflation, but as well, I mean, illegal immigration we were told was seasonal and it's not. That's right. Increasing crime rates as well as the defund the police movement that's backfiring in a lot of these major cities. We were told Joe Biden wouldn't put in place vaccine mandates. And of course he did. And we're seeing that on the state level as well. And importantly for me, I mean, I was in Afghanistan. Seeing how we pulled out of Afghanistan was absolutely tragic. That was the biggest loss of life in the entire global war on terror. That was not a helicopter crash. It happened in the last week. I mean, we pulled out terribly. We're going to see the same thing quite possibly in Ukraine. I mean, there's unfortunately a lot of national issues that are now coming up that need to be dealt with. And the bottom line is I'm not confident with who's running the country right now. And we need a change, and that's the biggest reason why I'm running again.
And, of course, the president talking today about potential military getting involved in some of these military complex that are around the world right now. And it seems like there are a lot of things kind of going on that maybe are getting pushed to the side in a lot of ways, just as we deal with the current surge in COVID and where things are. But are you concerned about the worldwide picture of some of the unstable governments and some of the governments looking at, potentially invading other places?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a big problem right now. Other countries see us as weak currently. I mean, like I said, especially after Afghanistan, I mean, Biden is not tough on China. He's not tough on Russia. And I think we could have done a lot more to deter potential military action in the Ukraine from Russia. It's a very complex issue, but we could be doing a lot better. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm running for Congress because we need an independent leader in Washington who's going to hold Joe Biden accountable. I don't think anyone's happy with where the country's going. Even his approval rating among Democrats is in the toilet, frankly. But at the bottom line, we need someone that's going to fight for the people of our district, and that's what I'm running for Congress to do.
More with Alex Scarlatos when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. We're still putting together tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, but make sure you're here to be listening. Alex Scarlatos with us, running for Congress in the 4th Congressional District. Seat currently held by Peter DeFazio, who's retiring at the end of his term. So, Alex, getting out and running again, what differences are you seeing the second time around versus the first time?
Sorry, what issues? Sorry, is that what you said?
Well, what's different about running a second time versus maybe the things you learned the first time around?
Oh, I would just say that we have a better idea of what we're getting into this time around. I mean, running for Congress is never easy. And running a second time, I mean, I'm much more familiar with the district. I think a lot of people know more about what I stand for now. We had a lot of time to talk to voters last time as well. I mean, I think going forward, we're just having a stronger, more organized campaign, and I think that that's going to really pay off in 2022.
Now, you moved to Roseburg in high school, and of course, you spent time overseas in the Guard as well. During the time you've been here, and especially during these two runs, how much have you done in terms of looking around at some of the other areas of the district, going out and talking to people in Corvallis and all those other places?
I've done quite a bit of that this time around, especially. We've been going to places all over, especially in Lane County. I mean, we know we have to move the needle the most in Lane County, as well as the new parts of the district, like Lincoln County. We've got a big trip planned up there in, next week or a week or two. The new district is about 75% of the Oregon coast, so we spent a lot of time on the coast, especially the south coast. And we're planning on hitting up the North Coast here shortly.
And how does the dynamics of the redistricting map with the changes, the places that are in, like you just mentioned, some areas that are not now, how does it change the complexity of the district aside from the fact that it is a little bit more Democratic?
Well, like I said, coastal issues become even more important. This district was a little bit more of like the central Western Oregon and the South Coast last cycle. And now it's basically the coast, northern half of Douglas County, Lane County, Benton County, but the southern 75% of the coast. So really the same issues that I've been talking about on forestry, fishing issues, and the port issues have become even more important. So I'm learning even more about that. And again, unfortunately, a lot of these national issues are still very important to people. I mean, regardless of where you live, inflation has hurt some of the poorest people. And again, this being the poorest congressional district in the state, that's going to be one of the biggest national issues that I'm going to advocate against.
And what kinds of things are you hearing the most from voters as you begin talking with them?
Well, unfortunately, they're just not confident in the leadership in the White House. I mean, I know this is a congressional race, but at the end of the day, Joe Biden represents his party, and I don't think anyone in the country is happy with the direction of the Democrat Party and the direction of our country currently. I'm going to hold Joe Biden accountable if elected. That's going to be my first priority since he's still going to be in the White House and we'll have a majority in the House. But at the end of the day, we need to work across the aisle. We need bipartisan support to win this election, and we need bipartisan support to really get anything done when Joe Biden's a lame duck president. So it's going to be very complicated, but there's a lot of issues that both Republicans and Democrats should be able to agree on in this district, especially when it comes to the fishing industry and forest management. We could be doing a lot better than we are without hurting the environment.
Now, current forecasts in a lot of political circles are for the GOP to make substantial gains in the midterms, particularly in the House. How does that change things if you're elected in terms of the climate you're going to walk into?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot better for us. I mean, last time we were running against Peter DeFazio, who's the chairman of Transportation and Infrastructure, the Democrats ended up holding the House. However, this time, Republicans are almost certainly going to take the House by a wide margin, probably take the Senate as well. So it's going to be even better if I'm elected for the district to have a Republican congressman that can work with other Republicans to pass legislation that actually benefits this district. I mean, we've had one-party rule in this district and in this state for a long, long time. And I think a lot of people have seen where it's gotten us, and they're ready for a change.
How much is this district, this race, being looked at by both parties from the national vantage point?
Well, I think both parties are looking at it heavily. I mean, this is going to be a very competitive seat either way. Again, it slightly leans Democrat, but in a year like 2022, it should absolutely be a pickup for Republicans. It's really just a question of if Democrats want to spend the time, resources, and money defending it, or if they think that Republicans are going to win it regardless. So that's what we're going to have to see going forward. We have to see who comes out of the Democrat primary first. But like I said, either way, we're very optimistic. I'm going to be excited to represent people of the 4th Congressional District, and I'm going to work incredibly hard to get a lot done for the district. I mean, there's a lot that needs done, especially economically and with forest management. And I'm going to hit the ground in D.C. ready to work.
It sounds like you've had a lot of contact with Republican leaders on the national level, even the potential incoming speaker, et cetera. Talk about that impact.
Well, I think it's always important to have national endorsements. I mean, I'm running this race for the people of the 4th Congressional District, and while I appreciate endorsements from anyone, the only endorsement that really matters at the end of the day is the people of the 4th. I mean, like I said, I want people of the 4th to vote for me, and that's why I'm running for Congress. I mean, national endorsements are fantastic, but we need to run for the people of the 4th, and that's who I'm going to represent at the end of the day.
But it does sound like you're making a lot of connections with folks that you would be serving with if you're elected.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're friendly with people in Republican leadership. I know a handful of congressmen as well, and I think that's going to be crucial to getting stuff done and elected, especially as a freshman. I mean, it's very complicated to pass legislation, and there's a lot that needs to get done. A lot of people need to agree on something to actually get passed at the end of the day. And being in the majority as a Republican and knowing other Republican congressmen, I think, is going to be very important. And that makes me very optimistic, especially with the majority that we're going to have, to actually getting some legislation passed in my freshman year. That would be very exciting.
And there is kind of a steep thing with being a newcomer from either side of the aisle when you go in there versus people that have seniority and have been there for a long time. It seems like it's often hard to feel like you're making a difference at the front end. How would you tackle that?
Well, it's definitely not going to be easy. I mean, that's something that's, I mean, I'm obviously not going to be the chairman of any committee starting out. I mean, neither would a Democrat, of course. So really, it's going to be about getting a consensus on certain issues. I mean, I think everyone can agree, Republican or Democrat, that forest fires are bad and we need to work on legislation to prevent them. So you just need to find what people agree on and get something done on that issue, such as salvage logging, thinning the forest to prevent forest fires, maybe coming up with some compromise that we can get done immediately and working on long-term goals like upping harvest rates down the road. It's really just all about compromise, even if Republicans have the House and the Senate. And I think it would also be important, depending on what committees I do get on as a freshman. Obviously, I'm shooting for agriculture, which would relate to forestry, or natural resources. It would relate to fishing. I think either one of those two are going to have the biggest impact on the district.
If people want to get connected and find out more about your thoughts, how can they do that?
Well, absolutely. We have a campaign page on Facebook, Alec for Oregon, and that's A-L-E-K-F-O-R Oregon. And we have alecfororegon.com as well. Shoot us an email, a Facebook message, and we'll get back to you. But either way, thanks so much.
Alec Scarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress, thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.